horse rider, but I have to have a saddle, number one. If you don't put a saddle on it, there's no way I'm going to stay on it. But to get on a bucking bronco with no saddle and just a rope, man, that's incredible to me. But right off the gate, the first guy that comes out, he does a flop and lands on his head. And he's just sitting there like, oh, what do I do? And everybody rushes out, and the announcer's like, man, we're going to check on him. He's going to be fine. And they got him up. He hobbled off. I saw the EMTs taking care of him. He was going to be okay. But that man had been just roughed up by the rodeo experience, right? And I know that even though you and I probably are never going to get on the back of a bull, we're never going to get on the back of a bronco, each and every one of us in here has probably experienced some kind of physical roughing up before in life. If you've ever played an athletic event, maybe you were a football player, a basketball player, we've all walked away from some kind of athletic event with maybe a black eye or a hurt arm, or we hurt our knee. We've done something that has hurt us. Have you ever been in a car accident before? You know, at the moment, you're just like, oh, that's not big. And like 2 days later, you're like, I cannot move. My neck hurts so bad. We've all been roughed up. Listen, if you're like me, I don't fall downstairs. I fall upstairs. Now, tell me how that happens. But you can probably relate, because the next day, you're sitting there like, oh, I've got bruises everywhere. We've all been physically roughed up in life one way or the other. But today, we're going to look at a section of Scripture out of the book of Luke that tells us, you know, you've experienced probably in life some physical roughing up, but there are moments in life where we are spiritually roughed up. Because we have an enemy who is out there to hurt us, to maim us, to destroy us physically, spiritually, not just physically. And he gets a lot of enjoyment out of it, and his name is Satan. So we're going to look today at the section of Scripture where Jesus tells Peter that the devil wants to rough him up. In fact, the Bible talks about this word. You'll see it in the Scripture this morning. They use the word sifted. Sifted. Now, if you have a phone that you're going to be reading from the Scriptures, turn it over to the King James Version today. Sometimes I like to go back to the old King James. Sometimes it says it just a little bit more different, and I like to go back to that old translation. We're going to look at today what Jesus has to say about what Satan wants to do, not only to Peter, but to you and I today. Maybe you have one of these devices in your house. My grandmother has one. We don't own one. I kind of regret it. My grandmother made some of the best biscuits I've ever eaten in my life. In fact, every time I think about Christmas, I think about Granny's biscuits. And it's interesting, they always had a device that they would use, and it was a sifter. You know what I'm talking about. They would go to prepare the pan of biscuits, and they put all the flour in this little metal colander container, and at the bottom of that container is a wire mesh, and inside there's like a piece of metal with a handle on the outside, and you would turn it. You would put the flour inside of it, and you would turn it, and it would force this flour through the bottom of that sifter, and it would remove all the lumps, all the impurities. And if there was anything that didn't need to be in your biscuits, it would end up in the bottom of the sifter and you could just toss them away. Very similar, we're going to see what this terminology, how it applies into the Scripture today. Because we need to be prepared to be sifted if you are a believer. There's going to be times in your life where you're going to feel spiritually under attack and you're going to wonder why. So today we're going to look at the why believers are sifted. We're going to see three things today. We're going to see Satan's intent when he sifts us. We're going to see Satan's involvement in the sifting, but oh, we're not just going to leave it on the rough stuff. Let me just go ahead and tell you the victorious part. We are going to look at Jesus' intercession for us while that's occurring in our lives. And so if you have your Scriptures, turn to the book of Luke chapter 22. Verse 31 and 32. That's where we're going to be today. We'll start there. And so let's read the Scripture together. Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Well, we can stop right there and preach a whole sermon on it, right? Let's just keep going. He says, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Lord, thank you for this scripture today. I just pray, Lord, that you speak through me this morning. Not my words, not anybody else's words, but the words that you would have for us, and that our hearts will be changed. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. These particular set of scriptures are in the red because we know that Jesus is actually doing the speaking here. And the context is, this is the Last Supper. This is some of the last things that Jesus had to say to his closest group of friends, this closest group of disciples. And he's telling them these things. And then he looks at Simon and he says, he even says his name twice. He's like, Simon, Simon, listen. Some things are about to come into your life. You're about to have a rough moment because Satan has expressed his desire to have you. And he wants to sift you just as wheat. And he's telling them, look out, because this is about to happen to you. We know the story that happens after that where Simon Peter is going through just a really rough time. He says, I'll never deny my Lord. And yet he experiences this hard sifting season. He says, I'll go with you, Lord, to prison. I'll go with wherever you are. And Jesus says, you're about to go through a rough time. He says, but when you get through it, you're going to have some things I need you to do. And so this morning, we need to look at a couple of things when it comes to this couple of verses here. There's some words I want to pull out of it because I believe if some things are biblical, and you've heard me say this before, that they can be transferable, right? So if we see a biblical concept in the scripture, it's not just locked into one spot. It can be transferred to you and I today. And I'm going to show you through some of the Greek words that we find in here that Jesus is warning to Peter is not just to him, it's to all of us. And the first word I want you to look at in this scripture is the word you. Now, in my scripture, the word you has a little bit of like italics, you know, it's slanted a little bit, kind of draws your attention to it because in the Greek, the word you means plural here. So when Jesus looks at Simon and he says, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, Jesus is saying, look, I'm talking to you, Simon Peter, but this is going to apply to all believers. This is not just you, it's going to apply to multiple people. And so we see here that in the Greek, it's plural. This is Satan not only wanting to sift Simon Peter, but he wants to sift every child of God. If you have committed your life to Jesus, if you have surrendered your life to him, and he is Lord of your life, Jesus, through these scriptures, is saying there's going to be a time in your life that you're going to be sifted too. So we need to understand that this scripture always points not only to that point right here, he's talking specifically to Simon, but it also includes believers in general. And not only that, there's another word in here we need to pull out, and this word is the word desired. Desired. Now, this is interesting. This is the Greek word that means to ask for permission. To ask for permission. So let's read it in context. It says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired, Satan hath asked permission to have you. Now look, we're going to wrap our brains around this in just a minute. But this is Satan essentially asking God, he has to ask God permission to sift Peter just as the Bible says a farmer would sift wheat. Now, here's some things that you need to know. A lot of believers don't know this, but Satan can only do what God allows him to, right? Because God is omnipotent, he's on the throne, he has all power and all control. Satan can only do what God allows him to do. Think about back to the Old Testament in the book of Job. We're very familiar with the book of Job. The book is all about the trials and the sifting that Job goes through. And so when we look at the book of Job, we know that Satan in that book appears before God asking permission to sift Job. He asks for permission to do it. Listen, God Almighty is the supreme ruler of the universe. There is no one larger or bigger than him. He makes the final decision about everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything. Anything that takes place in this universe is because either, number one, God allows it or God causes it. And so we can see here that when we look at the word you, we know it's plural. It's not just Simon Peter, it's believers. We can see the word desired here, which means he's wanting to, he's asking for permission. He wants to be allowed to do these things. There's a third word we need to look at too. And that's that word sift. Sift. The Lord told Peter that Satan desires to sift him just like wheat. In order for us to understand exactly what the Lord's talking about here, we have to understand the context of the scripture. We have to know about the sifting of wheat specifically during this time. See, in Peter's time, what farmers would do, they would take their barns and they would build them up on top of the hills. Now, to me, as a farmer, I'm thinking that's kind of counterintuitive, right? I'm thinking I grew up on a hay farm. I can't imagine having to pack every bale of hay up a hill to store. But wheat farmers do it a little bit different. They put their barns on the top of a hill because at the top of the hill, there's a natural updraft of wind that happens. If you've ever visited the mountains, go on top of a mountain, it's always windy up there. Why? Because the atmosphere and the way God created things, you're at the top, it's usually always a nice breeze blowing. And so these farmers, they would put their barns on the top of the mountains, on top of the hills, and when they would harvest their wheat, they would put it in the storage to dry. And what they would do is, during that process, they would actually take their wheat by hand, and they would toss it into the air. Now, what would happen is when they tossed it into the air, this updraft of wind would catch that wheat, and it would remove all the chaff, the light stuff, right? So imagine a farmer just taking a big handful of wheat, the wind's blowing, he throws it in the air. What falls back to the earth is a more purified version of what he threw into the air. Because all the bad stuff, the stuff you don't want in your bread, floats away. And so this kind of gives us an idea of what this whole sifting thing, like a farmer would sift wheat, is all about. The heavy kernels would fall, the bad stuff would float away. But here's a problem. And believers and church members, I want you to know, we sometimes question things, right? Does it make, why would God allow someone who's trying to live their life for him, why would God allow them to be sifted? When we look at the book of Job, right? Job had it going on. He was doing everything what seemed right, but the Lord allowed Job to be sifted. He tells Peter, man, you're my disciple, one of my closest people. You're about to be sifted. Why would God allow Satan to do these things? Listen, I believe no matter where we are in our process of sanctification, there are some things in our life, if we did some deep introspective examining, that shouldn't be there. Maybe some attitudes that we have been holding on to for years. Maybe there's some sins that we think are locked away in a deep closet. There's some things that if we were just honest with ourselves, we're not perfect. We've got things to work on. And because there are things in our lives that maybe God is not pleased with, God would allow us to be sifted just like that wheat so that when we're tossed in the air, the bad things would float away, and what will return is a more perfect version, more sanctified version of what started. And so every time we're sifted, God allows it really for our good. That's a tough thing to hold on to. When he allows sifting, it turns out to be a good thing. Remember this, Romans chapter 8, we know this verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Another Old Testament character. You remember Joseph? Look at the stuff that Joseph had to go through. Joseph had a really difficult time of sifting in the Old Testament when his brothers in Genesis chapter 37-ish, decided they were jealous of him. They throw him in a pit. They strip him of all his clothes, throw him in a pit, and they're trying to figure out how we're going to kill this dude. that finally one of his brothers speaks up and said, let's not kill him, let's just sell him into slavery. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun. Man, what kind of sifting did he go through? Listen, there's some things in the scripture that if I were honest and I'm reading through, they don't make sense on the first time I read through. There's some things in the scripture that are hard to digest. The book of Matthew actually has one of those things that Pastor preached on several Sundays ago, Matthew chapter 5. There are four things that are hard to swallow as a believer when we are reading one verse. There's four things in it. You're like, that doesn't make sense to me. The Matthew chapter 5 verse 44 says this, you got to love your enemies. Does that make sense to you? On the human level, I'm like, that don't make any sense to me. Love my enemies. The same verse says this, bless them that curse you. What? That doesn't make sense. Someone's cursing at me and you, okay. Look at this one. Do good to them that hate you. Lord, what you trying to tell me here? This don't make no sense to this Oakdale boy. I'm a simple dude. Pray for those who despitefully use and persecute you. Whew, that's all in one verse. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. But listen, when the Holy Spirit's working in your life and he's using these scriptures to teach you things, man, one thing we always forget is that believers are supposed to be different. Our reactions to things that happen in this world and that happen to us should be bathed in the power of the Holy Spirit and bathed in what God desires for us. Listen, when you see someone who says, I'm praying for my enemy, that doesn't make sense to the world. It makes sense to Jesus. It makes sense when we stand out, when we're different, when we're called to be set apart. That makes us the holy part of what Jesus calls us to be. There's a lot of things. And for example, listen, Joseph's brothers planned to kill him. They wanted to kill him, and then they decided, we'll just sell him into slavery. Let's get 20 pieces of silver. We'll sell him, and we'll be done with it, right? And Joseph is sitting there in slavery, and he begins to be blessed by the Lord. And then when it comes time for his brothers through the starvation period to come to Egypt, he looks at his brother when he realizes this is Joseph, the one we sold into slavery, who's been elevated to such a high position, who is now going to sustain and keep our family alive. Joseph looks at him and says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Listen. We're going to go through some sifting. We're going to go through some tough times. We're going to see Satan and his involvement and what he's all about. The word sift means to shake. And there are some times in our lives when God allows us to be shaken. And you can be rest assured in a couple of things, that during those times, Satan is always more than glad to accommodate God's wishes. If God allows it, Satan is pumped. I will step up to the plate, God, and I will make that happen. Listen, why is Satan always so willing to sift God's people? Why is he always, yeah, I'll do whatever I can to hurt him. Thank you for allowing it. Listen, this is going to be unique. Satan really doesn't care about you and I. Mm-mm. I want you to just kind of grasp that. He could care less about Brian Manuel. Who he hates is God. He despises God. He hates him so much. There's nothing about God that he likes. In fact, if you remember the scriptures, once in heaven, he tried to overthrow God. He said, I want God off the throne. I want that throne. He hates God that much, and he will do anything and everything that he can to break God's heart. He wants to hurt God. And so we find ourselves in this picture because Satan knows that God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. He exemplified what true love was, and Satan is aware of this. He could care less about you, which makes it even worse. He wants to hate God. He wants to hurt God. He couldn't give a second thought about us. But he knows that if he wants to hurt God, he's got to hurt the thing he loves. And that's you and me. Listen. But before he can do any of that, he has to be allowed to do it. He has to be given permission. Satan is evil, and he knows just how to hurt you. He knows how to hurt me, and he ultimately is hurting the Lord. Listen, go back to Job. Think about what Job was experiencing. Notice he tried to make God think Job really didn't serve him because he loved him. He said, Job's only serving you because of the things that he gets from you. And so we get back in the book of Job. In the first chapter, the Bible tells us this, that Satan came up to God during the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came with him, and the Lord looked at Satan. He said, where you been? What you been up to? And Satan said, I've been going to and fro in the earth from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the whole earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, man, Job, does Job fear God for nothing? Has not thou really made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Lord, you're protecting him. You've blessed him. You've blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. Whew. In this verse, we see God having this conversation with Satan. Satan shows up, and God knows what Satan's up to. He says, man, what about Job? You considered him? I want to show you a faithful example of a servant. Satan says, that dude ain't following you because he loves you. He's following you because you've been blessing him. Look, you got all these protections. You've been blessing his house, his farm, his animals. Man, you take all that stuff away. Let me take all that away from him and see what he does. Yeah, we know what happens at that. Job goes through an incredible time of sifting. He goes through an incredible time of jostling, of loss. He comes out the other side victorious because he never puts the blame on God. Look, Satan is looking at God and saying this, Job doesn't love you. He's the only reason he's serving you is to get what he can get from you. And that's true if we were honest with a lot of people. It's true for a lot of folks that profess to love the Lord. I don't mean to stomp any toes, but just look in our community, in our world, in our state. There's some people who profess to love the Lord, but really it's for what they can get out of it. There was on television, there was a psychologist, real famous guy. You probably know who he is. He was on television taking questions and answers from some people. And this woman stood up and she said, hey, I don't really have a problem with myself, but I have a problem with a friend of mine. And she begins to tell the psychologist about her friend who is always late for everything. No matter where she goes, she's late. And she said, I don't understand why she does that. She doesn't get anything out of it. And the psychologist stopped her and said, yes, she does. She gets something out of it. Yep, she's getting something out of it. The psychologist asked the audience if they knew what she was getting out of it, and many of them just said, she gets attention. She gets attention. And he said, that's exactly right. And then that psychologist goes on to say this, if she goes into a building with everyone else, no one's going to notice her. But if she comes in late, she knows everybody's going to look at her. See, sometimes we do things even on the minute level because it's what we get out of it. It's what we get out of it. Everything we do for the purpose of what we can get out of it. But our relationship with the Lord, oh, it's not about what we can get out. Is there something we get out of it? Oh, yeah. Commit your life to the Lord. Salvation. Boom. Commit your life to the Lord. You'll never walk alone anymore. Commit your life to the Lord. The valleys we go through, he will be present with us every step of the way, even through the sifting. So what is our motivation? But see, Satan was wrong about Job. Wrong about Job because Satan said he's only worshiping you for what he can get out of it. But we know that Job served the Lord because he loved the Lord, and God blessed him because he loved the Lord. How proud God must have been of Job, and how proud of you and I when we go through the sifting and come out the other end, and he sees, wow, those are my kids. They've come through. They're a better version of what went in. They're more useful to me now because that chaff has been blown away. Listen, the only reason that Satan can even sift any of us is because God allows it. He hates God. He is against him. And he knows that you and I are the only ones that he can go after to hurt the Lord. So we've looked at Satan's intent. Satan's not after you and me. Almost done today. Satan's not after you and me necessarily. He's after hurting God. So the second thing we need to look at is Satan's involvement in this. What did the Lord mean when he told Peter that Satan desired to sift him as wheat? Well, we need to consider a couple of things. That sifting terminology means there's a great trial coming to Simon. There's a great trial coming. And I'm going to say something that a lot of you might not even expect me to say this morning, but I believe that Satan gets a lot more credit for who he is than what he actually is. Okay, and you may not have considered this way because Jesus said there's some tumbling coming for you, Simon. As a believer, there's some tumbling, there's some sifting that's going to happen in your life. But I just want to make sure that we're not giving Satan too much credit because there's some things that happen in life that we like to say, this is me being sifted. It's not necessarily the truth. I looked at my wife's car the other day and I looked at the tires and guess what? It's time for new tires. I just bought some just a few months ago. Something's out of alignment. There's wires poking out of it again. I thought I'd fix that last time. Cost me an arm and a leg. Listen, maybe you're like that. Maybe you're like, I'm going to buy some new tires. So you go to Walmart, and you don't buy the base tire. You buy like the nice tire. You get the Michelins, you know, or the name brand tires, the ones you can pronounce. And you're like, this one's got a 60,000-mile warranty on it. And you put four brand new tires. You almost have to mortgage your house to do it these days. But you find a way. The Lord provided. You're excited. And you come out in the driveway the next morning, and you got a flat. Why am I being sifted? This persecution. Y'all, no. Mm-mm. That's just you having a flat tire, right? That's just you having a flat tire. Satan probably didn't have anything to do with you having a flat tire. Maybe you wake up one morning and you've got that 20-year-old washing machine. It's been hanging on. And you go to put that load of clothes in there. You hit the button and it goes, I ain't doing it. Listen, those are just man-made things. And we're imperfect. And things that are made by a man, they're going to wear out. They're going to fail. Satan probably is not behind those type of things in your life. But there are people who see those things as being sifted, and it's not necessary. I'm talking about the tough stuff. There are some people that think that life is just one big sifting experiment. That's not the case. It's not. Listen, every time something happens, they claim that they're being sifted. But the fact is, life has just a certain amount of difficulty built into it because of sinful natures and humanity that is imperfect. Listen, when Satan shifts you, when Satan gets a hold of you, you will know it. There are some things that come into your life that you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm going through this. Again, look at the life of Job. Satan turned on him upside down, left and right, turned him every which way but loose. He lost so much things in his life. Listen, when God grants Satan permission to sift you, he's not talking about that flat tire or that washing machine. No. The sifting that the Lord warned Peter about was that Satan wanted to see if he could shake him and hurt him and shake his faith. Sifting means some great trials, but y'all, sifting also is a recurring process. That farmer who has the wheat in the barn stored on top of the mountain, who's taking his hands and throwing it in the air, do you think he just does it one time? No. No, it's a process, right? So he has to grab another handful, and then he's got to do it again to the same handful, and he keeps going until it is perfect and usable and ready to go and make that bread that he wants to use. Sometimes we may feel that like we're in the middle of that sifting process today. Like we're being thrown around by Satan, and to be honest, that does not feel good. It's kind of why David in the Psalms, he cries out in one of the Psalms and he says, "How much longer, Lord, is this going to go on?" That's the sifting that the Lord warns us about. Sometimes it seems to us like it'll never stop. Listen, we've looked at a couple of things today. We looked at Satan's intent. We know he wants to harm God. He's ultimately wanting to hurt the Lord. We see his involvement in it, how he actually does the tough stuff. He has to be allowed to do it. Well, I can't just leave it there as we wind down this morning. We got to look at the rest of that scripture that says this: "I have prayed for you." Jesus says this: "I have prayed for you that your faith will fail not. And when you are, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Look, when we read this, Jesus is interceding for his disciples. He says, "This is about to happen to you, but I am praying for you. I am praying that your faith will be strengthened through this process." Listen, aren't you glad that when we're sifted, we don't have to go through it alone? The scriptures tells us this, that Jesus prayed for the believers. Notice that he does not pray for your removal from the problem. He doesn't say, "Simon, I'm just going to deliver you out of that." That's not what he prays. He prays for ultimately for us to have that victory in our lives. But the book of John, chapter 17, verse 15 says this: "I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." Listen, he says you got to go through some stuff, but I am there with you each and every step of the way. In this particular prayer for Peter, he prays that Peter's faith would not fail. Yeah, the Lord saw some things in Peter's life. He saw some things in Peter's life that he still needed to work on that concerned him, and he allowed him to be sifted. And Satan appears before God. He gets that permission to sift Peter, and he was sifted, oh, just like Job. But listen, Peter had to go through a rough time. We know that after this, when the Lord was crucified and Peter denied, that he was shaken just a little bit. Oh, but his faith was not broken. The sun came up the next day, and the Lord used him in a mighty way to build his church, did he not? He kept using him and working on him. Listen, there's some things that you're going to go through in life. Some things are just tough because of life. But know this, if you've committed your life to the Lord, there are some sifting moments that refine us. Just like that flour going through the sifter becomes something useful for Mama to make those biscuits, it refines it into a delicious meal. God is just letting that happen so that you'll come out to be more useful, to be more sanctified and more like Jesus. And when you're done through that process, he takes all that leftover stuff that's in the sifter. You got rid of that. Being thrown into the air, the chaff is away. The end product is something that is so much more useful. It is not easy. It is not fun. But Jesus says you will be sifted. And when you are sifted, know that I'm at the right hand of my Father, praying you all the way through it. You don't have to go through it alone. You don't. Listen, God also provides a church family for you too. We are here for you. That's why I encourage everyone, if you're not in a small group, get plugged in. That's where relationships form. Because the Lord wants to use your people in this church to minister to you too. Pastor's here for you anytime. I'm here for you anytime. We want to walk through these six seasons with you. If you're being sifted, Jesus is interceding. Know that the night's going to pass. The sun will come up tomorrow. And you're going to be a better person for it. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, you're an awesome God. We don't like these seasons of sifting, Lord. We don't like these moments where you're just allowing this tumultuous time in our lives. And I know that in this auditorium this morning, there's some people who are going through these things. Lord, let them know that you're there. Lord, let them know that they need to look at you for the things that they're going through. We can always trust you with that. We want to be better. We want to be more sanctified. Lord, keep that process going. Make us more like Jesus, even when it's tough. And we're going to depend on you to see us through. Lord, you're an awesome God, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, thank you for being here this morning. I'm here for you if you need anything. Come talk to me.